In this lecture, we are going to look at customs warehouses. Customs warehouses are a procedure that enable an importer to postpone customs duty and import VAT. In some circumstances, they can provide complete customs duty and VAT relief. The principle behind a warehouse is that it is either a physical place or inventory system, i.e. a virtual warehouse, located in the EU that is deemed to be outside the EU. You confused? Well, it simply means that for customs duty and import VAT purposes, any goods that are situated in the warehouse are not in free circulation in the EU. Goods imported into a customs warehouse do not have customs duty or import VAT paid on them at the time of import. A C88 still needs to be presented, but the Customs Procedure Code, or CPC, will tell customs that the goods are being entered into a duty suspension procedure. The duty and VAT only becomes due when the goods are removed from the warehouse to free circulation. Another C88 is presented at this point to declare the goods to free circulation. The legislation governing warehouses is Articles 98-113 of the Code and Articles 496-535 of the implementing regs. There are different types of warehouses that can be operated, and these are detailed in Article 99 of the Code and Article 525 of the implementing regs. Warehouses can either be public, where they are operated by a warehouse keeper who generally stores goods for anyone, or private, where the warehouse keeper usually operates it for storage of his own goods only. In the UK, the following types are available. Type A warehousing is a public warehouse, and D, E and C are types of private warehouses. We'll concentrate on the private types of warehouses. Type D can either be a physical or virtual warehouse. Type E is a virtual warehouse, and type C is a physical warehouse. Type D warehousing differs to types E and C in that duty is calculated according to the classification, value and quantity of the goods at the time the goods entered the warehouse. For all other warehouses, we look at the factors that apply at the time of removal from the warehouse. The same location cannot be authorised for more than one of these types. This is provided for in Article 526, subsection 2 of the implementing regs. In addition, retail sales cannot take place in a customs warehouse. This means that generally a shop cannot be authorised as a warehouse. Other sales may take place in a warehouse and they generally incur no VAT. However, customs do have the power to deny VAT-free trading in a warehouse if it appears that avoidance would otherwise occur. Before we move on to the authorisation process, let's have a go at an example. On the screen you have a table with five columns. In the first column is a list of the different types of UK warehouses. You have to type an X in the boxes that correctly describe each warehouse. As a hint, you should have at least two crosses for each warehouse type. Once you've entered your X's, hit the enter button and see how you did. The correct answers have now appeared. A type A is a public warehouse where the physical building is authorised. A type D is a private warehouse that can either be a physical or virtual warehouse. A type E is a private virtual warehouse, and a type C is a private physical warehouse. In order to become authorised, the importer generally needs to apply to customs at least 2 months before wishing to operate a warehouse. Authorisations cannot be granted retrospectively. If customs accept or reject the application, they must do so within 60 days. You can see this in Article 506 of the implementing regs. Application has to be made on a form corresponding to that in Annex 67. In the UK, the form is C1410. The principal purpose of a warehouse is storage, so only simple operations can be carried out on the goods whilst they remain in the warehouse. These operations are usually called usual forms of handling and are referred to in Article 109 of the Code and Annex 72 of the implementing regs. This phrase has already been covered in the IPR lecture. However, to jog your memory, or if you haven't heard that lecture yet, the types of operations include simple cleaning, weighing, repackaging, etc. If goods undergo these simple operations, and the goods are then released to free circulation, the value for duty can ignore any value added by these forms of handling. For instance, a teddy bear is imported into a customs warehouse and costs £5. The teddy is then repackaged into a fancy box for retail sale and is now worth £6 on release. The importer can use the £5 value when calculating the duty. This is provided for in Article 112, subsection 2 of the Code. If a person wants to carry out more complicated processes, they can do this by entering the goods to IPR from the customs warehousing regime. This can be carried out on the premises of the warehouse in accordance with Article 106, subsection 1, bracket B, of the Code and Article 535 of the implementing regs. Take the following as an example. You are authorised to operate a customs warehouse, and you are also authorised to operate IPR suspension. You import sheets of metal into your customs warehouse and wish to manufacture the sheets of metal into metal tacks. This procedure is not simple and would not fall within Annex 72 as a usual form of handling. Therefore, using your IPR authorization, the sheets of metal can be released to IPR without any customs duty and import VAT becoming due. They can then be processed on the premises of the customs warehouse and the finished product exported without any duty ever becoming payable. If you have not yet heard the IPR lecture, you may find that you want to come back to this lecture at a later point so that you can fully understand the process. This slide is going to summarize the advantages of operating a warehouse based on what we have seen already. Authorizations are granted indefinitely, and the goods can remain in the warehouse for an indefinite period of time. This gives obvious cash flow advantages, because if you never release the goods to free circulation, but simply re-export them, the duty and import VAT will never become due. Secondly, community goods can be stored on the premises, and if they are equivalent, that is, they share the same 8-digit classification code, have the same technical characteristics and the same commercial qualities as the imported goods, they can be used in common storage. This will negate the need to keep items separate and track exactly where they come from. For example, in the diagram before you, if the same types of clocks were purchased from a UK supplier, then they can be stored with the other imported clocks. It does not matter which of the clocks are physically picked to be exported and which are released to free circulation. Therefore, if we happen to export the 4 clocks that were produced in the UK, we can match the exports to the 4 imported clocks and will not pay duty or import VAT on the imported clocks. If we happen to release the 4 imported clocks to free circulation in the EU, we can match them to the 4 clocks that were produced in the UK. All that matters is that 4 clocks were imported and 4 clocks were exported. You only exported 3 clocks and the rest were released to free circulation. You would have to pay duty on one of the imported clocks. Another advantage of a customs warehouse is that if you do release imported products to free circulation, then, if they have been in the warehouse for some time, the duty rate is calculated at the time the goods leave the warehouse. Duty rates tend to fall each year. Therefore, we could end up paying a lower rate of duty. We have already said that whilst goods remain in the warehouse, they can undergo usual forms of handling. So, if we want to repackage our clocks, we do not need to release them to IPR, but can carry out the operation at the warehouse. We can then release the goods to the EU market and pay duty on the value of them when they entered the warehouse. Another advantage of having a customs warehouse is that goods can be transferred to another customs warehouse without being released to free circulation. This is in Article 111 of the Code. So you could sell the clocks to another person, and if they operate a customs warehouse, they can be transferred from yours to theirs. The duty and VAT will only be due when your buyer releases them to free circulation. The buyer will pay the duty and VAT due. Remember that a customs warehouse is deemed to be outside the EU. Therefore, if your particular goods require an import license and you have not received it by the time your goods arrive at the port, they can still be brought into the customs warehouse. The import license only needs to be presented when the goods are released to free circulation. So, there we have it. A summary of the advantages of a customs warehouse. Let's have a go at some more examples. On the screen are a number of sentences with words missing. You need to complete the missing words. If any of the words could be represented by numbers, then type the numbers as words. Once you have completed the task, press Enter and see how you did. So, are there any disadvantages to having a customs warehouse? Well, the authorization procedure and record-keeping requirements can be quite onerous. The warehouse keeper must keep records showing the goods that have been entered to the warehouse, any usual forms of handling undertaken on the goods, and details of the removal of the goods. In addition, a bespoke computer system is often needed to run a warehouse, and that can be quite costly to buy. Customs will also want to come and audit the customs warehouse records to make sure that no duty or import VAT is being lost. Another point that needs bearing in mind before someone becomes authorized to use a warehouse is that customs import and export procedures are becoming more simplified each year. It is now possible to import and export goods by providing electronic declarations, and the Customs Freight Simplified Procedures, or CFSP, for short, enable an importer to obtain up to 20 days duty-free storage after the goods have been imported, without the need for a customs warehouse. Some traders are finding that warehouses no longer justify the expense. A careful cost-benefit analysis should be carried out by someone who is thinking of having one. One final point is that not all types of goods can be stored in a customs warehouse. The following is an example of goods that cannot be stored in a customs warehouse. Certain meat products and other goods subject to veterinary checks after importation. Most non-community goods subject to restrictions unless necessary supporting documentation has been presented. And goods liable to excise duty unless the warehouse is also authorised as an excise warehouse or the excise duty is paid before the goods enter the warehouse.